Beloved radio friends, we warmly greet you in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, and consider it a sacred privilege, as well as a golden opportunity in the name of the Lord Jesus, to come to you with the Word of God. We are particularly considering from the Holy Scriptures one of the greatest New Testament doctrines, so very precious as well as most important for the age in which we are living. It is the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. One is certainly well said, we are living in the age of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, predominantly, we could call it the age of the Father. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, the age of the Son of God went upon the earth. But as we look at the present age, beginning at Pentecost, and consummating with the final rapture of the church, taken out of earth to heaven, this truly is particularly the age of the Holy Spirit. We are considering from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, the work of the Holy Spirit in his ministry of baptizing. We are particularly taking these verses of Acts 2, 1 through 4, and analyzing them very carefully in order to be clear concerning what actually took place on the day of Pentecost. We have made the suggestion that it is unfortunate that there are many believers who isolate the meaning of this event to one particular fact, and that is the baptism of the Spirit, with which they say they give evidence of receiving it by speaking with other tongues. Now we read the words again as we go to our meditation. Chapter 2 in the book of the Acts, 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now these words record the historical event of the Holy Spirit's descent, coming to the earth on that memorable day of Pentecost. We would remind our listeners that the Holy Spirit could not come and did not come until Christ had died, was buried, was risen again, and then ascended to be glorified on the right hand of God. Let me prove, before going further, that it was a necessity that Christ should die, be buried and risen again, and ultimately glorified in heaven, before the Spirit could come. In chapter 7 of the book of John, the Gospel of John, reading verses 37 through 39, you have the Lord Jesus watching the great feast of the tabernacle. And on that last great day of the feast, we read that Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For as the Scripture hath said, He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the Lord Jesus, by his Spirit through John, goes on to declare the meaning of those living rivers of living water. This spake he, writes John, of the Spirit that should come. For he was not yet come, for Jesus was not yet glorified. So we have noted, in our first fact that we have stated in our preceding message, that there was a fulfillment of the promise of the Son and the promise by the Father to send the Holy Spirit, who was sent when the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven and the Father glorified him upon his own right hand in majesty above. So we repeat with emphasis the first fact that we have revealed in these words of Acts 2 and their record of the historical event that was the fulfillment of a promise. The promise that he would be sent. That promise, my friend, has been fulfilled, and the Spirit of God is present upon the earth. He came on that memorable day of Pentecost, and he has never been absent from the earth to this moment. Now we would like to mention a second fact in regard to this memorable event and the historical record concerning the descent of the Holy Spirit. The second thing that is evident, and this was according to the word of God that was promised, there also came the dwelling of the Holy Spirit with the believers, fulfilling the statement of the Lord Jesus. And I quote his words in John chapter 14 and verse 17. For he dwelleth or abideth with you. In other words, the Holy Spirit not only came in response to the Father's command, but he also came in fulfillment of the Savior's declaration. When he comes, he will dwell with you. He came to dwell particularly with, not with everyone, not with all people, but with the Lord's own redeemed people, and to take up his abode amongst them, as the Lord had promised. And the Lord declared in John 14 and verse 16, that he may abide with you forever. Now this was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, and it is still true today. The Spirit of God has never left the people of God. You have the thought suggested in the expression in our scripture of Acts 2, that when he came suddenly with a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, that wind filled all the house where they were sitting. And this illustrates that the Holy Spirit has taken up his blessed abode in the house of God, amongst the people of God, to dwell in their midst. Paul the Apostle, writing in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, declares that the church is the habitation of God by the Spirit. Now let me emphasize that, for I frankly confess, with reluctance, too many Christians are ignorant concerning what he did and has still continued to do when he came on the day of Pentecost to take up his abode with his people. My fellow believer in the Lord Jesus, wherever the people of God gather together, and I speak of the true born-again believers, that company of believers are assured, each one, everyone can be assured on the authority of the Lord's own word, the presence of the Holy Spirit will never leave. And thus we can recognize he abides with the saints of God. May I point out something that is sad, but so frequently true? The ignorance of believers that the presence of God is with them. My beloved, may I say, and this I repeat with sadness too in my heart, the many dissensions and conflicts that prevail, strife and envy, divisions that seem to prevail amongst the people of God, they are despicable. They are contrary to the mind of God and a disgrace to the Lord Jesus Christ and to our Father, as well as to the testimony of the church. But I must reemphasize that with all the failures and with all the shortcomings that are apparent, the church has never lost the true believing remnant of the church has never lost the presence of the Holy Spirit. He is still upon the earth. We are told and warned not to grieve him. And we can never grieve him away. We are told not to quench the Holy Spirit. We can never quench him in such a manner that he departs from the people of God. Solemn as well as precious is this blessed fact. He will abide with you forever, said the Lord Jesus. Now, beloved, I want to say frankly, let us consider the importance of this fact. The Holy Spirit not only came to fulfill the promise of the Father and the Son, but he also came to fulfill the assured word of our Lord Jesus when he said, when he is come, he's going to abide with you. He'll be with you forever. I would like to speak words of encouragement, which are so greatly needed, to all believers, wherever you may gather, and I speak and trust I'm speaking, to a gathering of genuine born-again believers, that you may realize with comfort, with assurance, as well as for your encouragement, the Spirit of God came at Pentecost, and he took up his abode with the people of God, never to leave them. Now again, we would reemphasize, if it is true that he has come and his abode with us is to be forever, then should we ever pray for him to come again? Can we ever ask God to send us another Pentecost? I take the words of this opening part of our scripture in Acts 2 and verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. There was a completeness concerning the Pentecostal coming of our Spirit of God into this world. Beloved, do you believe it? The promise of the Father and Son has been kept, and the Spirit has now taken, long ago when he came, right down to the present moment, his abode with us. Oh, Father, rivet these truths to the hearts, consciences and lives of all thy people in Jesus' name. Amen.